concluding this morning a short series which I've been doing on that very exciting subject of the day the church was born. We've been looking at the day of Pentecost, and it's an amazing day, a day when God came in a new way and energized people, and the church began to be born, began to move forward and fulfill the mission that Christ had for it. You may remember, those of you who've been here for most of the series, that I've used a number of things that I've called keys to try and unlock our understanding of the significance of the day of Pentecost. There were basically three of these. The first was a promise. A promise was given by the Lord Jesus to his apostles. The promise was the promise of the Holy Spirit coming in power. And the second key that we looked at was what I call a prophecy. This is an ancient prophecy by Joel, in which he describes the events of the day of Pentecost, an amazing day when the Holy Spirit came, and that's described in detail in the prophecy of Joel, and we looked at that. So we've had the promise, the prophecy. And then the third thing, what we looked at last time round, was a proclamation. And this is where the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' close followers, explained, first of all, what the significance of Joel actually was. And then he went on and gave the first sermon ever preached in the Christian church. And it was an amazing sermon in which he presented to us Christ crucified, then Christ raised, exalted, Christ the complete Savior. And then he drove the message home powerfully to his hearers. And many of them were convicted of their sins and underwent the process that we sometimes call conversion, complete change around, where they changed their thinking, changed their behavior, placed their faith in Christ, were baptized as an evidence of that, received the Holy Spirit. And that's where we left them. But there were two consequences of Peter's message, which I mentioned last time, the conviction and the conversion. But there's a third consequence, and that's what I want to deal with this morning. It's what we might call community, because the early believers did not receive Christ as Savior and then live out their faith in isolation. They came together and formed that amazing thing that God is building and is still building, even right down to this day, the church. And that's why I've used the word community, and that's what we're going to look at today. And we have the characteristics of the early church detailed for us in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 42 to 47. So if you've got Bibles, if you'd like to open them at Acts 2, 42, and we're going to look down to the end there. But just before I read this section, I just want to make a couple of comments. I think there are two extremes that we want to try and avoid when we're looking at this section of the book of Acts. The first extreme is to say, well, this has nothing to say to us. It's an interesting piece of church history. It's something that we can look at with interest and amusement as historians, but learn nothing at all from it, because it was something that happened 2,000 years ago, a unique episode with nothing to teach us today. The other extreme, I think, is perhaps rather more common in the kind of section of the church to which we belong, which is that we think if we can copy the early church, then we will have the perfect church. So all we need to do is look at Acts chapter 2 and then try and imitate it, and we will have the perfect church, which will cure all the ills of the modern church. I think that's a mistake, because it ignores the fact that the early church, as we look at it in Acts, was being worked out in a historical and cultural context quite different different from ours. To give you an obvious example, the people met every day for worship service in the temple. Now, I don't think many of us could actually, perhaps some of us could be here every day for church service, but I don't think most of us could, because the cultural setting in which the church was worked out is different from ours. There's another mistake, I think, which is to ignore the fact that this is a unique episode. And it's unique because the early church was blessed with the ministry of the apostles. Now, there are still apostles, and there's a gift of apostleship in the church today, but I don't believe that's the same as the apostles. And by the apostles, we mean these 11 people who were actually with Jesus, who saw him after his resurrection from the dead, plus Matthias, who replaced Judas, and then plus the apostle Paul, who came along afterwards and gave us so much of the New Testament. So I'm going to try and steer a course through these two extremes. But what I would say, and I think this is so important for us this morning, is that there are principles which cross the divide of the 2,000 years between ourselves and the early church. Timeless principles which I believe should characterize the church in all situations. And what is the church? The church is people. What people? It's you and me. And therefore, it should, to a greater or lesser extent, characterize our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. So I hope that's kind of got you on the edges of your seat. And we're going to look at this section. I just want to read it, first of all, from the 2011 NIV. Verses 42 to 47 of Acts chapter 2 read as follows. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now there is a description of the early church. And I think there are many, many principles that we could apply to ourselves from this particular passage. I counted quite a few of them, and I had to stop when I got to 10. I thought that was probably more than enough. There are loads of principles here, and I just want to take you through this particular section, looking at the principles which I think span the gulf of these 2,000 years of time.